Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Coco's. I got babies at table one. I got babies at table two. Kids checking out the show here. Mom's having a crab cake. We're at Coco's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. I had a lady come up and in the middle of the first segment, stop my segment behind me, handed me her ticket. In the middle of Greg and I talking, and I scanned it, she won $20. Then her girlfriend hands me the other ticket. I scan it. She won $5. So I have nothing but winners here today. And I've got two of my favorite ladies together. There is a long story about Nancy Longo and I's friendship. And we talked about that at Deep Pasquale's last summer and Taste of the NFL and her restaurant and Scott Panion and our friends at Amici's and all of that. And Marce and I go back to her mom and her day drinking on Sundays 30 years ago before the Ravens came to town up at the Emerald Tavern.
Yeah,
and there are guys outside running numbers and on the phone. I had my Oiler helmet on. I was all footballed up. And I met Marce, and we've been friends ever since. And they told me, Marcy's mother has this incredible crab cake. It's a place called Coco's. It's down, I almost grew up back here on Tyndale, right where I grew up as a kid. And the two of you have been linked from the minute I walked in the door here. There's a sign that says only nice people allowed, and they still let us in.
Right.
But there has been a sign on the door here, and I'm going to bring this up. Marce, can you tell me where this is from? Is GQ magazine? Is that what this was? GQ?
You know,
was it?
I thought it was an airline magazine.
Go magazine.
It was an airline magazine.
Yes.
Magazine.
This was Go. Is that Southwest?
It was Southwest or AirTran. It might have been AirTran.
Could
all
be.
Right. So this has been on the wall here for...
I don't
two
know.
Decades?
What's the date on it? It's forever.
Forever.
I have no idea.
It's definitely from the 90s.
All right. A Tale of Two Crab Cakes. The fancy smoked crab cake at Pure Point. Who else smokes a crab cake besides you?
Nobody.
Nobody.
They
correct.
Tried it.
And the Bare Bones Classic at Coco's Pub go head to head. And they actually have the pictures in here. And you guys both hate this when you get pitted. You were on Chopped, but you hate getting pitted against other people,
yeah.
Right?
Food's
food.
I've done enough food cooking shows. I'm done.
You don't want to lose
anymore. I'm aged. I've won a few times. As a matter of fact, I used to be the pretty girl for Ready, Set, Cook, and I would go compete against people at the malls in D.C., Virginia, Maryland.
You're a mall chef?
I was a mall
Man,
chef.
Man, you and I got to spend more time together. I don't know enough about you, Nance.
You know what? I need to write a book.
I thought you were Irish. Now you're telling me you're Italian. You could have come to the event last night.
Am.
I did. Well, Marce, you said like the nicest thing. And you said this. You never met Nancy. You've never been here. And you've never, like.
And that was the reason why I needed to come here today.
I told you she really wanted to meet you.
Well, we have a mutual friend.
Yes.
Jamie Lipinski.
Yes.
All right.
And Jamie always talks about Nancy, and I'm sure to Nancy she probably
always
talks about me.
She does.
And so I'm
this
really
is awesome.
Honored to
this
meet
is
you
Baltimore
today.
Positive. Yeah. This is what this is.
It is.
And I got to tell you, when this article came out many years ago, we were so flattered that we were even like mentioned in an article and compared to you because we heard so many good things about your restaurant.
Well, I laugh because I have people that come here all the time, and then they take a picture of that, and they send it, and they go, did you know about, yeah, I've known about that. Did you know, yeah, I know about that. And they said, do you know her? And I said, no, but I'm going to meet her one day. I'm going to go there because we have these
so
mutual
awesome.
Friends. So
yeah.
When Nestor says, absolutely, I will take time out to make this happen because
and
it's kind of a cool thing.
It's not really a contest. It's
not.
Different
well,
styles.
Read it out.
That's
comparing.
The point about this whole article is to explain that there are
two
nuances
different
crab
ways.
Cakes.
Right.
How many times do you see a day where you see one of these people writing on Facebook, one of those Maryland things. Who's got the best crab cake? Okay, well, then you got the usuals, and you go, okay, roll your eyes, check out, because it's subjective, which is exactly what this is about. Because some people go, I don't want a big fat thing. I don't necessarily want any breading at all, in which mine do not have any at all. Or I don't want whatever, and they like to smoke one because they drink a lot of bourbon or scotch. So there's a lot of nuances. So people can pick and choose what they want. My thing is if I had a stack of hers in there, I could give one of those and one of those at my place.
Well, I had Andrew Zimmern on at the Super Bowl about 5 years. This is back when Tasting NFL was still Tasting NFL before they screwed it up.
Yep.
And he came on my set with me, and we talked. And, I was talking crab cakes and whatnot. This is before I did a crab cake tour.
Yeah.
He's like, there's only one way to make a crab cake. Ah, 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 little lemon, ah, ah, that's it. And I'm like, what? I thought you were like a dude, a chef. The one way to make a crab cake? There's a million ways to make a crab cake. And people come to me as the crab cake guy, and they say, which one's the best? And I'm like, I like them all because I like crab cakes.
They're nuanced.
But they're all different. I've only had one crab cake I didn't like in my life on this tour that I've been on for 7 years. I got sent to a place, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to laugh. It was in Potomac, Maryland. All right.
Wow.
So they have more money than us there. Promise you that. I promise you that. And I got sent there by the Restaurant Association on my first tour about 4 years ago. And I was doing a crab cake every day for 30 days. And this is like day 23 or day 24. So I've had a lot of crab cakes at this point. I've done the show here. All my sponsors, Costas, Faith, all the places have great crab cakes in Baltimore. And now I'm down in Montgomery County trying to find a crab cake. And I was doing one in every county. There's 23 counties in the city. So part of my 30 crab cakes was I was doing one in every county, which when Eric was when we were talking about Frederick County and Garrett County, right. And like I had crab cakes in all those places. But finding one in Montgomery County, Restaurant Associates sent me to a place. I'm not going to out the place because it was so bad that I don't even want to tell you where it was.
Yeah.
Because not a place you're going to go. But it was in a market in a really, really bougie, high-end, not like Di Pasquale's, like
right.
Much more, not Italian. It was much more
yes.
A deli with soups and sandwiches.
It was a really big place on Rockville Pike?
No, it's not on Rockville Pike. This is out west on Potomac, like where Dan Snyder's mansion is. Like they were all $30 million mansions. Like literally, right. It was that kind of place. I went in. And they had a thing on the wall like the Anderson Family Benefit that I'm going to, with a QR code, and it said, we ship crab cakes. And I'm like, well, they must be good if they're shipping the damn things, right? So, you know, give me a crab cake, because I was getting one everywhere I went. They put it in the bag for me, and I didn't think anything of it. We were going to Jiffy Lube Pavilion to see, like, Sticks or something like that. We were like,
that's why you were having a crab cake and an oil change.
Well, I took the crab cake out at the tailgate. I went down to the tailgate because I'm going all the way to Manassas, Virginia. So I get down there and we park the car and we got music going, we got beer, we tailgate. Jen's got the chair out, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna tear into this crab cake. Now keep it in mind, this is my 24th crab cake in 24 days, right? So, you know, I had a lot of good ones. I had some, you know, okay ones and fine. None of them were bad. I took a bite of this crab cake and I had a fork. And I was poking around in it because a good female crab cake on the Eastern Shore, you'll find the orange roe in there. So I'm poking around to figure out what's in it. And I looked at it. It didn't look like any kind of crab cake I ever had. And I took another bite of it. And I said to Jen, I'm like, I'm trying to identify what it was. And after the third bite, I realized they had taken a chicken salad recipe. I'm not kidding you, Nancy. Look at this look. It had celery in it. I think it had like craisins in it.
They were clearly not from this state.
From anywhere I've ever been in my life.
Maybe they gave you the wrong thing.
No! No.
We already know if you put that stuff in there, you're getting stabbed.
I'm not lying to you. I mean, I'm not doing shtick. I'm telling you, I went
how
to this place.
I'm sorry. Did you recover from that?
I think I told you this story. Did either of you ever get crabs at O'Bricky's?
Yes.
I never have.
I did.
I had never had crabs at O'Bricky's. And I'm not bagging on O'Bricky's at all.
No, but
I'm going
to
say something.
Well, the family used to come into my restaurant before they closed.
I waited my whole life to go to O'Bricky's. And the number 10 bus used to go by there when I was a kid going to the city. And I knew where it was, the brick in the outside, beautiful the stained glass on the windows. I had never, ever been there until I moved downtown about 20 years ago, before they closed. My wife and I and Kenny Ballgame and Hockey Meg walked over on a Sunday evening, and we were so geeked up for crabs. It was a summer night. It was like August. I'm like, never been to a Brickies. I mean, I've had my crabs at the barn and the Costa, all the places that have crabs. Comrades, I've had a million crabs. And I went, and we ordered a dozen crabs, and they put them on the table. And I looked at them. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You've had O'Bricky's crabs.
No, I grew up with Bo Brooks when they were on Bel Air Road.
Well, me too.
See? That's right.
That's where I grew up.
They put white pepper on their crabs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I did know that.
I have never been anywhere in my life before
since.
And as a baseball guy, when I would talk to baseball players who came through Baltimore, I'm talking about in the 80s and 90s, they would all swear by O'Brickies because O'Brickies was downtown and would recruit them and bring players over, treat them right. And they all, I got to go back to O'Brickies. And I'm thinking to myself, I went there one time and I got their crabs, and they were not like Maryland crabs at all. It was a white pepper. I ate the crab. They didn't taste bad. They were just different.
Yeah. Right.
And it was more like eating a crab with black pepper instead of like what we would continue, a J.O.
It picks up whatever you stick on top of it, clearly. And if you put crushed red pepper, you're going to get that very pungent. You get that white pepper. It's hotter than black pepper. You know that's the inside of the kernel.
Right. It's a spicier. Yes. It's a spicier.
I didn't know
Yes.
that.
All I can tell you is I sat there and ate four or five of the crabs, and I didn't like the experience because I like crabs the way I like them, right? So it's like I didn't like the chicken salad in my crab cake. I didn't like that either. But
that was a Maryland cake.
But when you, one time in your life, you've eaten something one way 1,000 times, and then it comes a different way.
Yeah.
The thing about it that stuck me was my fingers didn't smell after I ate them. Mm. Like after I ate crabs, and on the way home, my fingers smelled like I didn't eat crabs. And I thought that 20 years later, it's the one thing I would tell you, that I would never go anywhere where crabs are served with white pepper, but there is a different way to do crabs even than the way we know how to do them.
I think they even packaged as seasoning for a little while there. I think I remember seeing it in the grocery store.
I want to ask you, literally, this thing on the wall. By the way, Nancy Longo's here from Pier Point. She has finally met Marcella here from Coco's. I'm bringing people together because it's Baltimore Positive. It's what we do. Smoked crab cake. So I see this on the wall here, and I say, I don't know that I've ever had a smoked crab cake unless you made smoked crab cakes at the Taste the NFL.
You worked at Taste the NFL.
Yeah, Taste the NFL.
Front door. The players were locked up. So I don't mean like in jail. They didn't let the players be at the booth.
Right.
And so we had no player at our booth, and each booth would have a player. And so he walks in with Marty Bass, and I was like, okay, cool. You two can
she
be
put
the
aprons on us.
You could be the entertainment players, and we'll serve the food. So we did. Because I got that gig because they wanted me to make that smoked crab cake every year for 25 years.
And you made that every year?
Every year. I was not allowed to make anything else.
Well, I'm going to read from this.
The best one was here. We ran at them early in Indianapolis.
At this intimate, classy Fells Point joint, bistro, Nancy Longo named the state's unofficial coronated crab cake queen by Maryland Magazine in 1991, infuses the classic crab cake with a smoky taste and a hint of sherry. Now, she has sherry in her cream of crab soup over there. We already been through that. The famed smoked version first appeared as a special item 22 years ago and quickly earned a spot in the regular lineup. Now, you say, this is your quote here. We smoked the crab meat over fruit wood. What the hell's that?
Like cherry or apple chips.
Cool it and then turn it into a crab cake with a very light smoked flavor. Real mayo, Dijon mustard, and a right balance of Worcestershire sauce, Old Bay, and lemon juice round out the dish.
Sounds delicious.
Now, that's different. So, Joanna Cocovinos and her daughter, Marcella Knight, are the women behind the Behemoth crab cake. That means pig.
You said is your mother Italian?
It's Greek.
Oh, there explains everything. Because my friends over there were Greek. Okay.
Nancy comes in the door at Coco's, and she knows people at table one.
Didn't even know them.
So with so little filler, people always ask, what keeps it together? We hand-cut bread into the tiniest cubes we can. I didn't even know these secrets about your crab cake. To hold it all together using about 70 loaves of bread a week. More than that.
Oh, way more than that.
That was then. This is now.
Yeah, can I would ask both of you this, because my aunt, my deceased aunt from San Diego, my crazy Aunt Jane, she was nutball Republican, but I loved her anyway. But she died about 20 years ago, and whenever I would go out to visit her, she was from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and she would salivate at her kitchen table in San Diego. She knew she could order crab cakes online, but she would always say to me, I want to get back to Baltimore. I want to get one of those crab cakes with the crackers, and I want French fries and coleslaw.
Aww.
Like, she would always say that to me. You're the historian here. The crab cake, the mustard, the crackers, the saltines, mm-hmm. and then the fact that coleslaw and French fries became the unofficial. You know, we don't eat asparagus. You know, nobody serves potato chips with a crab cake. You serve French fries and coleslaw.
Right. See, I'm going to make it crazy. You said something about asparagus. Halford County in the late 1800s grew more white asparagus than anywhere else. Also was the largest Brussels sprout growing state in America.
Asparagus makes my pee taste, smell funny. I don't want to have any part of that.
Yeah,
asparagus is funky.
I like it.
Coleslaw is not.
But I make, you know, I make my coleslaw out of the Brussels sprouts because I knew that historical thing.
Oh, I love that.
I'm into that. It's really good.
It's really good. So we just make the regular coleslaw dressing, and all you got to do is steam them and throw them in there.
What's your favorite thing to eat? Like literally, like, what do you eat around the house? Like, would you put together something?
I mean, I like duck. I like fish.
That's it?
I don't know, pretty much.
You don't eat your own crab cakes much?
No, I do occasionally. I do.
Do you eat your crab cakes?
Not real often.
No, it's just you get...
As a treat.
It's really something, isn't it? If you see that stuff every single day, you're like, I'm done.
You're killing me. Right. What is with my headset in your head? Every time you do the show, you're a mess. You just keep pulling the damn thing the wrong way. If you just leave it alone...
I'm not. My head's shaking too much. Yeep. But that's an interesting thing. So, back to the thing where you said it's 70 loaves of bread with her. So years ago, I worked for Stevie Martin, who was with Something Fishy, and her husband owned Martin Seafood, Billy. And she would tell me about these people that she knew on the Eastern Shore. And so Baltimore City was always a bread thing in your crab cake. But the Eastern Shore people used to use Ritz crackers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
There's a lot of places that use
the
cracker.
But the thing about the Ritz crackers is... if you pulverize them enough, they turn into almost like flour.
Like a paste.
Yep. And that is exactly what I use.
Okay.
So I'm a Ritz cracker person. But that is a two different school thing. The other one is that the Ritz cracker will give it some of a buttery flavor to it.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a thing. How did that smoke thing come to be? I was doing a bicentennial Federal Hill. The 200-year celebration. And they sent me to meet this woman who was a food historian. And I was reading all this stuff, and it was like, oh, no refrigerators back in the day. They smoked everything.
Preserved.
So I went I said, I wonder what happens if I put the crab meat in the smoker. I found out that it actually lasts about 5 days longer than a regular pound of crab meat. Put it into a crab cake. No other crazy stuff in there. And I started selling twice as many of them as the regular ones. And we were doing the shipping thing for a while, too.
Good.
Yeah, it is. It's very subtle. It's been 5 years since we did Taste NFL. So that's why you can't remember that. But you did have one. They also...
I didn't taste it as smoky, though.
It's because it's so subtle.
Okay,
but
that's
it gives it more of a sherry quality to it, or a bourbon. But it's light; it's not a barbecue taste at all. And I think, well, for a while there, Harbor Court was doing it. One of those other places out here, or out the road, was doing it. I was like, oh, I guess they're all into this now. It was just a thing that I did.
You would make crab cakes the regular way before that.
I have a regular one on the menu, and I have a smoked one on the menu.
All right,
and they can come and get one of each. The other thing is interesting, is she makes them, and you're saying you're putting bread in them. You can make them bigger, and they stay together. If you don't use any bread, you can't make them big, because they won't stay together.
Ours
are two smaller ones, right. Because I don't put any bread in them.
Yeah, ours is very difficult, and that's what's so time-consuming about our crab cake making, is that we have to put the minimal amount of filler to hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not easy to do.
No.
It's sort of like the glue or the paste of the oven.
It is. And if you make them either way, you can't serve them right away. They got to set up for that stuff to meld together, or they just don't do well.
The refrigeration part of the process is important, right?
Yes.
Well, I like to get the science of all of this, because people do say, I make a good crab cake at home, or I have this, or I have my recipe. I mean, if I were to make a crab cake at home, my mother would make it with literally breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. Mustard, French's mustard because all we had to ask. We didn't have any, you know, bougie Dijon or any honey this or
well,
that.
Well, see, I like the reason why I like I use Maille, M-A-I-L-L-E, because it has a horseradish flavor to it, which just cranks it up a little bit, so I don't put as much Old Bay in and not as salty. Interesting stuff.
Well, when I've been on the Eastern Shore,
Old Bay can be very
people
salty.
Ask me about your crab cake, Mars, and I say it's sweet, as I would explain it's sweet, but not wet. Like, I mean, it was at Pappas last night.
Yeah, well,
another
Greek place. Wetter.
It's wetter, mm-hmm. But also your crab cake, for whatever reason, and I know you don't want to hear this, when I do pan fry it at home, and I do sometimes, that it doesn't fall apart because it is bound together in some way. There are some places that they won't fry you a crab. I like a fried crab cake.
I don't either.
I prefer fried to broiled. Yeah. I just do.
I like them pan fried. See, I can't put
mine. East Baltimore. Yeah.
Mine cannot go in the deep fryer or they blow up.
Yeah, or
and they can't go in the broiler, they fall apart. So what we do is get that cast iron pan really hot so that the second you put it in there, it sears the bottom
right,
so you can flip it over and they won't fall apart. Otherwise, they're falling apart.
And nobody wants a falling apart fried crab cake.
Otherwise, just get a pile of crab meat.
Well, a lot of places don't fry them either because it isn't pretty.
Right.
Your crab cakes are beautiful.
People
they're gigantic.
Fried,
I like them deep fried.
Ours, I like the taste, right? But you have to make them smaller to fry them because ours is so big
it'll
it wouldn't be cooked
too.
All the way inside.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah, then
it's
then
cold
you have to
inside.
Hear,
and that's right, exactly.
Now,
and they will tell you.
And our kitchen's so tiny that we can't, you know, fry everything.
He'll tell you that mine's probably not much bigger than this.
Now, I'm going to tell you something here as well on the crab cake side. I know you're the queen, the other queen of crab cakes down at Fadley's, the other Nancy.
Oh, Nancy.
The other Nancy.
She's another IND graduate. Boom.
There you go. IND girl sticking together through crab cakes. She educated me very early on in the crab cake tour before I started really doing a tour. I was doing a show at Fadley's. And she brought me a crab cake, and I start BSing as I do.
And theirs are only deep fried, right?
They do fry theirs.
Yeah, they fry theirs.
So, and very mustard for it. Very different than smoked, very different than sweet, just different. She brought me a crab cake, and I got to talking to her and Bill, and we're talking, and 45 minutes in, you guys both noticed this, I didn't eat the food. So the crab cake sat there on the set and got
cold,
right? And I said, it's cold. And I said, I'll take it home. And she said to me, no. You're going to eat that right now. And I'm like, why? She's like, cold, room temperature, you will taste the crab better than if you serve it sizzling hot. Now, I did the same thing you did. I'm like, crazy old lady. She'd laugh at that if I told her. So I said, crazy old lady. I had to apologize to her next time I had her on. I did the same. I took a Fadley's crab cake home. I heated it up. I brought it up to my office, and then I got distracted. And I sat there, and it got stone cold again. And before I said to my wife, I'm not going to heat it up. She told me to eat it cold, eat it room temperature. And I did, and it tasted better. And I wouldn't recommend that in any particular way, other than to say crab meat at room temperature is, I don't say more preferable, but you will taste whatever's in it better than if it's steaming hot.
The only thing I would disagree with the other parts are is I think that I like the crispiness of it, and you're not going to get that once it's cooled off.
I agree with that 100%.
But
I like a crispy hot pan-fried crab cake. I take Marcellus home and destroy him and send her pictures all the time. I do.
Like, what is that, like crab cake porn? I'm teasing with you.
There is a thing about I took her ribs out, and I told this in the last segment. I took her ribs and her coleslaw home a couple weeks ago, and I deboned them, and I got King's Hawaiian slider rolls.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Her ribs with her coleslaw? Forget it. But that's
it's
not
like
the
your,
way she
like
means
your
for
wife,
me to do it.
It's like your wife when she would say to me, I need some of that fried chicken from you guys.
Right. I take her crab cake home, and it's so big that I quarter it, I cut it into four, and I make English muffins. I make 2 ounce English muffin crab melts, and I put sharp cheddar cheese over top.
No one does that anymore.
Burks used to do that.
I know. Do it as a special.
I have a one. It's a weird in the rest. We have a corn waffle, like in a waffle maker, and then the inside is hot crab dip. You have to come get one of those.
What?
Yes.
Explain this to me again.
It's like a waffle, like a Belgian waffle. But it's this thick. They make these waffle makers, and then the inside is hot crab dip. Like, you eat crab dip? So it's instead of having crackers with it, you just cut the waffle and you
and the crab dip floats out of it?
With it? Yes.
You make this?
Yes.
What do you call it?
It's a
Nancy Steak.
It's a crab waffle. It's good. It's crab waffle.
I have never heard of a crab waffle in my life.
I do all kinds
neither,
of
but it sounds
I do
yummy.
All kinds of weird stuff. You need to come visit me some night. Bring your wife, come down. I know.
She's experimental, man. She brings the kids down there, teaches them how to cook.
You know, it's like this. It's one thing when you own a restaurant and you're an owner and you're into this and you understand the business side of it. I'm really bad at that. We'll admit that. When it comes to being a chef, the minute you stop being thoughtful and creative and stop being curious, you're done. You're done. You got to get out because you just become miserable and hateful with what it is that you're doing. And that's part of people in their burnout. And that's one of the reasons why I never wanted a big restaurant. I want to be able, like somebody called me tonight. They said, I'm going to come for my anniversary. Oh, well, that's really sweet. Good thing you told me. There's no menu. I'm going to make them a nice dinner. I can do that in a little teeny place. I can't do that in a big place. So oftentimes, chefs that are creative are better suited in smaller places. You just can't. And we can't do high volume.
You know. You can keep creativity.
Everybody's going to die with more money than me, you know. But I'm going to have done exactly what I wanted to do.
There you go.
And as I told you, my job is to, you know, it's my job to feed everybody. I'm trying to figure out now how I can get some sponsors to give me some money so I can give some boxes to some families that
are
in need.
Yeah.
Again. Here we go again. I mean, it was 26,000 boxes during the pandemic and another 25,000 meals sponsored by my friend Andrew at Harbor Park Garage. It was so joyful. I mean, you're like, oh, these people need food.
I see Chef Jose Andreas. I ate at his restaurant down in D.C. a couple weeks ago and out in Vegas. If you get a chance to eat at any of his places, he's down in Jamaica. And you know how much I love Jamaica.
He's back in D.C., by the way, giving out food.
I mean, I saw him this morning. He's down in Jamaica feeding people. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the food is so fundamental.
You know what?
And it's, you know, this guy running the country taking food away from
two things.
Like, and you and I have done food bank stuff and a couple of Super Bowl. And when I talked to Marcia about that, we're talking about St. Francis of Assisi over here. It's sort of like you said, my thought that anybody would go to bed tonight with an empty stomach is that's a sick feeling for all of us.
Well, there's two things. One, chef mentality. It's my job to feed
people.
Anyone. Mm-hmm. Two, some days there are some people that the only joy they get that day is some food. If that lives in your brain and swirls every day, it's hard for you to not think about food issues for people, which is why I mean, there hasn't been a food charity that I haven't been involved with.
Sure.
Pick one up.
Absolutely. That's why I met you.
I'm trying to find some new ones because I just, I did our Daily Bread for 25 years, Super Bowl for 25 years, every other one. Like I said, but we're all going to die for money because I've done what I wanted and I put my money where my mouth is. I get a kid. I'm hurting. I have a customer that I've been cooking for. Her husband's got dementia. He's in the hospital. And she finally broke down in tears. She's like, I don't know how to deal with this. But I've been doing their meals for 2 years now because she can't let them out of her sight.
Well, I told somebody
and
when you were over here.
And our mutual friend, I'm doing stuff for her because her dad needs to be on low sodium. Or I got some other friends of mine who are trying to figure out what they're allergic to. And I'm creating recipes in my brain daily to try to figure out how to make something taste good when she can't have anything in it. So there's a whole other science to that. But that also goes back into that crab cake because back to every single person who has a family story about a crab cake and where they lived and what they put in it. So you go, French's, we got Grey Poupon, we got my... Think about all the nuances just with mustard alone in a crab cake. It's crazy. And everybody has their own that they like. And that's why when people start with that crap with who's got the best crab cake, I ain't even stepping into that insult.
No, I mean...
Because they're all different.
They're all a story from
somebody's family.
Yep.
Every single one of them. Okay, so let's see if she knows this story. Do you know where a crab cake came from? I think I told you this before.
It was poor man's food.
This is the best story ever.
It was a poor man's food.
No. So I was very good friends with Paul Prudhomme. For many years, we would talk, and he would say to me, I can't understand. You could never tell me, Nancy, where the crab cake come from. A couple years ago, I kept digging and digging and digging and research after he passed because it just made me crazy. Turned out that the slave trade who used to work the waterfront in Louisiana would make corn pancakes, and they would stuff crab meat in them. So they had these pancakes with crab meat in them. As they occasionally would pass through the Chesapeake back to Canada, they would stop and they would talk to these watermen. And they were like, well, you could make these things here because you have corn and you have crab. And they did. So that was the thing here. So corn cakes are a thing in Maryland. But what they did was they eventually just kept taking and putting more crab meat in them until they made a crab cake out of it. And then they switched it from the corn to the crackers or the bread.
So it was like a, what do they call those things at the fair where they take the hot dog and dip it in the...
Have you ever had a corn cake? Oh, my God. I think I made a couple of those Super Bowl. So it's like a pancake. It's like a regular pancake, but you puree Silver Queen corn in it and some chives and a little cream and make them into these fluffy, beautiful little pancakes. Oh, My mom used to come on Sundays.
So there was crab in it?
Yes. And then the watermen here eventually just stopped putting the corn in them and turned them into a crab cake. So that's where it came from.
Well, I was going to say, by the way, Nancy Longo's here. That's her voice. Marcy's here from Coco's. We're Coco's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. There's been a thing on the wall here from an airline from Go Magazine, A Tale of Two Crab Cakes, Pure Point and Coco's Pub. It's been on the wall forever. These ladies have never met each other. I happen to know and love them both and bring them together. But here's what I would say about restaurants, and this is my observation at your front door, at this seat, or when I come in here. People come, and when they come, they're either hungry or they're buying food for their family or whatever. But there's a happiness involved in destination dining, wherever it is, right? Like, and I am that guy when I show up at the door, my favorite places to eat that I haven't been to in a month, a year. I'm on the road somewhere. A couple weeks from now, I'm going out to San Francisco. My friend has a Mexican restaurant. When I get to the front door of his restaurant and I walk through, there's just this feeling, right? I mean, you know, that this human emotion that's tied to the memories of the place, the food, the people, the taste of that crab cake at Coco's that I want, the taste of that thing that I haven't had at Pure Point that I want. And I think there's people coming in the door. You see that. There's a sense of happiness that people are happy before they even get here. You want to make them happy on the way out.
Yes.
But they're happy at the thought. The whole notion of they got in their car, they drove over, they went online, whatever they're doing.
They're excited to be
they're
here.
They're excited to eat your food. And they can get a crab cake anywhere in town.
Well, we can agree with that,
but they want yours.
It's very colorful, bright, and inviting in here. And I don't know why I've never been here before. Do not ask me. Oh, I probably, for a different reason. God rest his soul, when my husband was still alive, he was allergic to crab.
Oh.
So and he didn't dine on crab.
You met Steve. Yeah. So they would say, Steve, do you realize you're dating her, the crab cake queen, and you're allergic? He goes, I know. He said, she makes me other things.
One less person she has to make a crab cake.
Yeah, less crab cake I got to make. But it was always a funny thing. So we would never go to any crab places because he was allergic.
My wife doesn't love seafood, so it's not our first dining.
How's that happen from a girl from New England?
It's just, if there were a restaurant that's a seafood restaurant, it probably wouldn't be our first choice because she would think.
That's why she used to tell me that she would come in and get fried chicken.
Right, that's right. There you go. Mm-hmm. But now she eats crab. She likes crab cakes now. Yeah. She did in the first 15 years. I think her bone marrow transplant completely changed her.
Well,
her
they
palate.
Say it will.
I mean, she's a different person. She's got different.
Well,
DNA.
It changes your hair color, changes the texture, changes other stuff.
Yeah,
it does.
It did change her palate. She likes seafood more now, I think.
Well, that's a good thing.
Nancy Longo's here. She is the queen of Pure Point Restaurant. Marsh is here. She's the queen of Coco's. All right, so charity stuff. I want, Marsh, talk about your Anderson Family Benefit, because Eric did that. I want to make sure we're promoting this, because it is, it's next weekend.
Yes.
It's November 16th. This is someone who worked here. This is a really near and dear thing to your heart, and you're taking the day off of your Coco's, and everybody's participating in this thing, including five bands, right?
Yes. So, actually, Paul used to play in a band. So he's going to hopefully be on the drums at some point this day. They're probably thinking he might like grab some drumsticks.
I like to see that.
So they have five bands, and Paul used to tend bar here. He was here, I think, for 4 to 5 years. Left during COVID. Went to work at 412 Roofing. But he's still near and dear to our heart. Once part of our family, you're always part of our family here. And yeah, he suffered a major heart attack, and spent about 3 months in the hospital. And so his he's the breadwinner for his family. He's the big family man, does everything for them. And so with him being out of commission has really put a hurting on all them. So we're doing this fundraiser for him, and Eric is doing all the food, and Waverly Brewing is brewing a special beer just for this.
I got a special glass for this, too, right here. There it is, right there.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we had that logo design. That's actually Paul in the logo playing the drums up there.
I was wondering who that crazy guy was there in the logo there.
Oh, you can see his arms up. Yeah.
I like that. There you go. All right.
Yeah, he's a great guy. His family's great. And, yeah, we're very excited. So it is Sunday, November 16th.
Music's going to be good. The beer's going to be cold. The food's going to be great as well. Nance, what are you doing that's good? I know you're making boxes. You're teaching kids still.
We are still doing this stuff for the kids. I would love to expand it next summer so we can get some more. So we did St. Francis for years, but there's other centers who have kids. And you know what? We have no more culinary schools. So if we bring these kids in and we're teaching them about real food, because we don't do any junk food in this thing at all, the kids literally learned how to make pasta from scratch. They learned how to bone up chickens. These kids are making Indian food.
Wow, I need
French
to come.
Food.
I need to learn some butter chicken.
We have adult ones, too. And so I would like to be able to get some more kids. I would like to find some more centers. So maybe I can expand on that. But otherwise, we're still doing... I have a thing called Nurture Meals, and the Nurture Meals has money in it. And if someone tells me of a family, their house burned down or something happened to them, they get a box of food and we send it to their house and they don't pay for it. So we're in the middle of redoing our entire website, so they'll be able to get through to us that way to do it so that we can start giving some more people some more food. But, you know, that's pretty much what's going on, you know. Otherwise, it's plugging away. I'm 36 years of food.
This is the 10th anniversary this month of my wife almost not surviving her second leukemia mess, but made it through. And Nance was adamant. She would send me texts 8 o'clock every night. I'm down at the hospital. You hungry? You're coming by for food tonight. You're hungry? And I'd say, no. One of my other sponsors gave me. Somebody sent me home food. Nah, you're coming down here. So I'd wind up, if I felt lonely, Nancy would have television on, bitching about politics because Trump was running the country, and we would be sitting and like hanging out and eating some food.
You know,
and you took good care of me, and I appreciate it. I love you for that.
There is nothing wrong with both sides, both political parties. The only problem is that when we decide that people don't need any health care and they don't need any food, or we make their food insecurity much bigger, then I got a problem. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I will call you out, because food is a God-given right. It really is, and we're having bigger problems these days now, because people are eating so much packaged foods and stuff that we're ratcheting up the dementia in people, because they're getting plastic in their brain. So I'm like, if we cook more people more homemade cooked meals,
farm the table.
Well, if you buy these meals that we're doing, we're not giving them to you in plastic. We're not doing that. We're not cooking them in plastic. So, you know, but you remember this one. This is a good one when you were an Italian kid. They say, your grandmother was making the sauce, right? Oh, yeah. You know, the aluminum comes off and ruins your brain. They used to tell you, you would get aluminum in your food and it was going to wreck your brain.
I do believe that a lot of the dementia is caused by people eating so much processed food.
It is. It positively is.
I don't disagree with that. That's why I come to you. I come to Coco's, eat fresh. Go down to Pier Point, eat fresh.
You just gotta not have that stuff in your system.
Well, here's the thing for me. I come in the door here, only nice people out of Coco's. Right on the right, there is a sign that's, and I would always look up and say, do you know Nancy? And Marshall's like, everybody I know knows Nancy. And I said to Nancy, have you been over to Coco's? Nah, I've been everywhere. I haven't been to Coco's. So today, I changed that.
Yes.
I changed that.
Which is very cool.
It was great to see you.
Yes. It's
always great to see Marsh. Get on out, support the Anderson Family Benefit as well. Next weekend on the 16th. You got no excuse. The Ravens don't play until 4:30. The event starts at 1. It's right at Union Brewing. The cold beer and
Waverly,
the delicious...
Waverly Brewing.
It's Union Avenue.
Union
my bad.
Avenue.
Waverly
like
Brewing. My bad. It's on Union Avenue.
Waverly Avenue in Union.
No, Union Avenue, Waverly. Don't confuse me, damn it. Nancy's here. Mars is here. My thanks to everybody here at Coco's. I had Greg Abel come by earlier on today, as well as Lisa Matthews from Love Ride. And I do want to give a shout out because we talk so much about heart. We talk so much about family. My dude Ed Lauer got a fresh heart last night. Heart transplant. I've been a mess all day.
Aww.
So he's doing good. We're going to go see him. So we're going to do a benefit for Ed, too. Lauer Power is what we're going to call it. So the minute he can eat a crab cake, damn it, I'm going to bring him one from Coco. So I got to sign off. We're going to be back on Friday at Pizza John's in Essex. I have some great guests. Luke's coming by because he loves Pizza John's.
That's another one, a pizza tour.
One at a time, man. I got oysters. I got
crab
cakes.
You
got to
go back to Deep Pasquale's for the pizza tour.
Deep Pasquale's texted me yesterday, and they've invited me back. So I'm going to be back.
Their pizza's the best.
I was going to say, you know, I love their food, but I've never had their pizza.
Oh, Jesus, you're going to meet me down there and have a pizza with me.
By the way, the one time I did my show at Deep Pasquale's, her old man's out in the lobby.
The best pizzas that I've had
I've
in a long
never
time.
Your husband
pizza.
Loves Deep Pasquale's, right?
Yeah.
You live in the neighborhood down there, right?
Yeah, yeah. I live right by Nancy.
You guys were neighbors, yeah.
I live right by your place.
Life
See?
Is great in Baltimore, man.
So.
You didn't flood last week, did you?
I'm a good place for you to hide. But we didn't have it in the building, but we did.
Could have been Annapolis,
I couldn't
man.
Get down. We call that Lake Alisana.
Yeah.
I couldn't get down
was,
Lake Alisana.
Yeah, well, you
because the water
that.
Sits. If it moved and ran, then it would be a river. But since it sits, it's Lake Alisana. I used to talk to Sergio from... You know, over in Little Italy, and Serge and I would go, how's it at that end of Lake Alisana?
All right, no more floods, no more natural disasters. Come on out to Coco's and enjoy yourself. You can always order crab cakes online. If you're getting involved with the holidays and shipping, make sure you get that in early, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
All right. Give him a chance to...
Christmas is around the corner.
Give him a chance to ship you those delicious 11-ounce gigantic softball crab cakes anywhere in the world. Or do what I do. Quarter them up, fry them in a pan, and just don't tell Mars about it. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570.
We're throwing them on the smoker.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. I'm going to have another crab cake tour. I'll be going around, have you all together.
Yeah.
Smoked crab cakes.
If you put them all in one, we should be all in one room. Like all the crab cakes that you
We have put
like
an end to the whole room where there's
It'd
only one
wild.
Way to have a crab
all,
cake.
All of them all at one time.
I can't eat all that.
We,
I ate too much
We'd
last
have
week.
To get like an audience. But we could get some people and then we could give the money to a charity.
I like that idea. All right. I like that idea. Back for more. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore. Crab cake tour wrapping up. Stay with us.